Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 3, chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. The first blessing after we believe in Jesus Christ is to receive the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven actually is the kingdom of God. And yesterday we mentioned if the kingdom of God realized in our heart, what kind of life we will live. According to Romans chapter 14, verse 17, if kingdom of God realized in our heart, what kind of life we will live? First is righteousness. The second is, you forget. Everything returned to me. The second is peace. The third is joy in the spirit. Righteous means everything is right. We will not be controlled by sin. Sin cannot dominate us anymore. We will never be enslaved by sin anymore. We become a free person. I can do whatever I want to do. I will not do whatever I don't want to do. Because the kingdom of God is power. Get rid of the dominance of Satan. And the second is peace, right? Because God is with us, we have no fear. And we have no worry, and that is peace, tranquility. And the third one is fulfillment by the Spirit. You will be very fulfilled. And this kind of life actually is a life like in heaven. If the kingdom of God fulfilled in our family, then even we live a very ordinary family life, but our family life will be like in heaven, because the kingdom of God is kingdom of heaven. Is the kingdom of heaven realized in this physical world? So it's absolutely possible our family can be like heaven if the kingdom of God realized, right? And the kingdom of God is the church. If the kingdom of God realized, the church had no sin. Why? Because the church had been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, had been washed away by the words of God. Right? And empowered by the Holy Spirit, so the church will be very holy. And then when we come to the church, we can feel that kind of tranquility, peace, that kind of atmosphere. And then in the church, we can witness the satisfaction from God himself, a joy in the spirit. And then when the kingdom of God realized in the church, when we come to the church, we don't want to go. When we go, we want to come back, because this is a place where we can really experience something which we cannot experience outside the church. How wonderful it will be. And this kind of church will attract a lot of people. So while we are in the world, God wants to give a blessing for the kingdom of God. There is the kingdom of God. It will belong to us. But in order to inherit the kingdom of God in our heart, in our family, in our church, what is the criteria, requirement? Chapter 5, verse 3, Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The condition is poor in spirit. In spirit means what? Inside the heart. It's not poor in money. It's not poor in material. Is poor in spirit. So this statement will not disqualify those who are rich, because it's poor in spirit. Even the rich person, it will be included if they are poor in spirit. So God treats everyone equal. Well, regardless of your money, you don't have money, right? If you are poor in spirit, then the kingdom of God will become yours. Now, first think about that. Think about, how do we impress other people? Well, you are still young, right? You are in school. How do you impress other people? How do we impress other people? How? How do we impress other people? Good grade, right? Good grade represents you are very smart. All right, your brain just like a Xerox machine. When you read it, you memorize everything. Good grade, you are very smart. And then after you graduate, how do you impress other people? You are very capable, right? Capability. Because of very capable, so you climb the invisible ladder in a company, and then you become supervisor, and then and keep on higher and higher, right? The business card has a lot of different titles, right? Not only PhD, the other side, right? This is capability. And then after you have the capability, how do people impress other people? How do people impress other people? Material, it come from where? Money, right? So one day a brother come to airport, pick me up, I drive a very fancy car. I say, oh, thank God, you earn so much money. He say, no, hey, this car has come from bank. I borrow the money to purchase the car. I say, then why you have to drive so good car? Do you know I'm doing the real estate business? If I don't drive this kind of car, nobody is going to do business with me, right? If you drive the second-hand car and a used car, right, nobody is going to do business with you. Why? You cannot impress them. No. So you drive a fancy car, even though your bank account is zero, right? Still, people will be impressed. Okay, this person is pretty good. So people impress people with what? Money, wisdom, and capability. And plus what? Plus what? Outer appearance. You are very handsome, right? And then you are very beautiful, right? Impress other people. Now, let's think about another point, right? How do we impress God? How do we impress God? We just say, how do we impress man, right? How do we impress God? And when you look into the title, how do we impress God? Yeah, if you want to impress God, you have to let God know, I have nothing. If you can do that way, then you can impress God. Then you can have a kingdom of God. In front of God, you not only talk to God, I have nothing. Really in your heart, you let God feel you have nothing. Then you can impress God. Is that easy or is that difficult? That God being impressed that you have nothing, is that easy or that difficult? You don't know, right? After we go through the Bible, then you think, is that easy or is difficult? Now, we turn to Luke chapter 18. The book of Luke chapter 18. Verse 9. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And Jesus said to them, today salvation. 18, verse 9. And he spoke this parable to some who turned in themselves, and they were righteous and despised others. Now, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other tax collector. Two are praying in the temple. You know, when we pray, right, we don't want to impress anybody. Everybody close your eye. How can you impress anybody, right? Nobody watching. When we pray, we try to impress God, right? Really touch God. No, so now, you look into these two person pray, right? One is Pharisee, and another one is tax collector. And how do these two person impress God in their prayer? Let's think about. And then, verse 11. The Pharisees stood and prayed thus with himself, God,
I thank you, but I am not like other men, dead men, extortionary and unjust and adulterer, or even as a tax collector. No. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I have. And the tax collector, this is the prayer of the rich man, right? But of the Pharisees, right? How do he try to impress God? He tried to come, I have a lot of virtue. I have a lot of virtue. What kind of virtue? Right? I did not do any bad thing. And I give tithes. And I do this, I do that. So he tried to impress God. Okay? With his virtue. Right? So does the Pharisees poor in spirit in the eyes of God? No. In the eyes of God, he's trying to show off. I am rich. Rich about what? I'm rich about good works. I'm rich about virtues. So please, listen my prayer because I'm rich in the virtues. Right? And then the tax collector, how does he pray? 13, and the tax collector standing afar and would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. And that heart beat his chest and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So now the tax collector, he prayed, right? He knew he had sinned. He had nothing to show before God. So he only said, I have nothing. I am a sinner. I am not deserved to kneel down before you. He is poor in spirit, so humble, recognize his sin, and feel he is unworthy to receive blessing of God. Right? And then after the prayer, God listened whose prayer? God listen whose prayer? Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other of everyone who explained himself. So, after the prayer, Jesus mentioned very clearly, the tax collector is more righteous. Why? Because he is poor in spirit. He asked for mercy from God. And end of the verse 14. Yeah. And who exalt himself will be humbled. And he who humble himself will be exalted. So poor in spirit means when we come before God, don't count how many good works we have done. Don't count our own virtue. And we are so humble to a point in front of God, we feel I am nothing. When I compare with the perfect God, all my righteousness become filthy. I am nothing. If we were able to so humble, right? Poor in spirit, so humble. I have nothing. I have no virtue. And then God will count us as righteous. Then our prayer will be answered. It's not difficult. It's not easier, right? You know, in the church, sometimes those who are more fervent will look down those who are not fervent, right? If you come to the church every Sabbath and another brother only come once a month, a lot of times even we don't say it, right? In our heart, we just feel, that's no good. That one is almost in the brink of being swallowed by Satan, right? Almost in cannot be saved, almost gone, yeah. So because of our own fervency, we tend to look down upon those who are weak. And then this kind of attitude is not poor in spirit.
So in the beginning of the prayer of the tax collector, he said, I'm not like that person. No. And God considered this kind of attitude as some kind of haughty, not humble enough. So sometimes we do more holy work, and then we will despise those who never get involved with the holy work. Right? But that brother is no use. He never want to do anything. No. Because I am doing everything. So when I am doing everything, we feel we are good, we are better. So we feel that person is not good. Right? So it's not easy. Right? In the eyes of God, we really humble, even though we do a lot of work, even though we really have a lot of virtues. Right? But we still so humble enough that God feel we are nothing. If we can low down to that point, the kingdom of heaven will be ours. But it's really not easy. Now we look into the second. How can impress God in poor in spirit? Let's look into Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to baby. Even so, Father, for so it seems good to your sight. The kingdom of God will be hidden to whom? According to the verse, the kingdom of God will be hidden to whom? Those who are wise and prudent. The kingdom of God will reveal to whom? Reveal to baby. Right? What does baby say? What does baby know? Baby know nothing, right? You ask baby, 1 + 1 is equal to how much? I don't know. Baby, right? Right? So because baby, right? You ask a lot of things, baby don't know anything. I only know one thing. Milk is very good. That's all. Other than that, I don't know anything. But the reason we can impress God, because when we are in front of God, we have to let God feel that I'm very foolish. I don't know anything. But actually, you are very smart, right? In school, you all straight A. You are very smart. You attend all kind of different kind of competition. You always win over other people. You are always in top. How can I really say, I don't know anything? We have to understand the spiritual realm and physical realm is different. The spiritual realm is mystery. So when a person feels they are very wise, that's always talking about the worldly stuff. But according to the Bible, the worldly wisdom cannot understand God's business. But a lot of people, when they feel they are very wise, they cannot be humble and admit, I don't know anything. They feel their wisdom, their achievement through their wisdom in the world give them some kind of self-confidence. So they use that kind of attitude and come to the church. And they try to use their ration to see whether Jesus Christ is believable or not. If Jesus Christ cannot go through my ration, I am not going to believe it because I believe science. Right? But we have to understand, we human beings, we are very limited. A lot of things we don't understand. And a lot of things we don't understand is created by the God who is invisible. So God is even more profound than a lot of things we don't understand. So if we can understand everything, including God, and God is not great because we can understand it with our limited brain. So in the church, sometimes we see the truth seeker, right? They are very humble, even though they are very well educated. Because in their heart, they know, oh, this is something spiritual. I don't know anything. So they are very humble. When they are very humble, they kneel down and pray, and they receive Holy Spirit. Oh, why? Because they are like a baby. Because they are like a baby, so they are waiting to be taught. I don't know anything. Please teach me. Oh. Yes, I know a lot of book, but in terms of Bible, I don't know anything. So I'm waiting to be taught by you. Oh. Even though you don't have so high degree in the world, just like me, right? I'm waiting to be taught. And this kind of truth here, very easy to receive the grace of God. But a lot of truth seeker, when they are some kind of achievement in the world, it's difficult for them to experience God. Why? It's so difficult for them to humble before God and to impress God that I know nothing. If a person in front of God don't admit I know nothing, right? Then the kingdom of God will be hidden to them. You look the Bible example, right? Paul. Originally, Paul received the best education. Gamaliel is the best teacher, right? He was very wise. And Paul was very fervent, but did he really know God? No, he did not really know God. Oh, he loved God, but the way he has done actually is persecute Jesus Christ because he did not know God's will. Oh. And then when God enlightened him, he fall down, become blind. And then he become humble. Oh, and God gave him Holy Spirit. And through the revelation of Holy Spirit, and Paul know a lot of God's business. You look into the New Testament, right? Out of 27, Paul wrote about 13 books. How come he was able to write so many books? According to Galatians, because Jesus Christ revealed himself to me. How come Jesus Christ revealed himself to him? Because in front of God, he was able to admit, I know nothing. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, if anyone among you feel that he is wise in this age, let him become fool. That he may become wise. Look, there's a process. A person has to become fool first so the person can become wise. What does that mean, become fool? Means we admit, even though I know a lot, but in front of God, I still know nothing. That become fool. So God opened the person's heart and he will be able to know a lot. One of the examples is Nicodemus. Nicodemus actually was a Pharisee, right? In time of Jesus Christ, a lot of Pharisees are very arrogant. How come they're very arrogant? Because they are well-versed about Old Testament. So they know a lot. Oh, and they feel they are something, somebody. Oh. But Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was so humble. And he came to seek Jesus in the evening and waiting to be taught by Jesus Christ. So he received salvation. Eventually, the kingdom of God become his. Right? The second, poor in spirit means in front of God, we should, like a baby, admit we know nothing. Yeah. Now we look into another one. Acts chapter 8. We have no time. Eunuch. Eunuch was in charge of treasurer, right? In Ethiopia. A person who had high ranking position and also very rich. But when Philip approached him, the eunuch was so humble. Do you know the book you read? No, nobody teaching me. How can I understand it? He's so humble. So Philip just teach him a lot. And later on, he received baptism. He received the kingdom of God. So in order that we really, that kingdom of God fulfill in our heart, we have to learn to be poor in spirit. If we have a contrite spirit in front of God, low down ourselves, because we have nothing, we are very poor, and then God will elevate us and fill upon our heart with His Holy Spirit, with His words, and with His love, and our life will be enriched, and we will have the kingdom of God. So now let's come forward. We still have 30 minutes to pray. Let's empty everything in our heart and to be like a baby and ask God to fill us with His kingdom. Let's come forward and pray.